And so we turn to Joshua chapter 1. This is a textbook chapter. It lays down the principles for us when we face things that are new, things that we've never faced before. Now, it happens frequently. It may happen with the biggest of things, with the far-reaching consequences. It may happen with the smallest things that barely could be described as much more than a niggle. But we do need help confronting that which is new. Human nature is weighed, at least formal human, sinful human nature is made in such a way that it wants things to carry on as it's always done. It doesn't want to be facing new things. And we do need to have under our belt the principles which lie behind the way we face new things. There are three, and they're all here in Joshua chapter 1. There may be more than three that you would consider as subheadings of these three, and which may be spoken of in other parts of the chapter. But I'm simply going to speak from Joshua 1 about facing the things that are new. First of all, let me remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves to come alongside any of us when we're facing something new. An exam, ill health, financial difficulty, failing sight, even death. But whatever the situation, the Lord Jesus Christ, in response to those who call upon him, will come and be at their side through his comforter to strengthen them. And how is Jesus able to do this? When the Lord Jesus was hanging upon the cross, he was facing two entirely new situations. Seems unbelievable that the living God could face anything new. But it was given to the second person of the Trinity in his character as mediator to face two new situations that in the whole of eternity he had never faced. He had never faced the removing of the presence of his Father. From the whole of eternity, he had known nothing else than a present, intimate relationship with his Father and with the Holy Ghost. And now the Father was about to withdraw from him. The Father was now to withdraw from him as the sins of every one of his people were laid upon him. The Father was about to punish his dear Son instead of us. And to that end, and from his hatred of sin, let alone the accumulated sin of all his people, the Father must turn away. Jesus had never known what that was like. And of course he had to trust that that presence would be restored to him. There was also a new situation for him, that of death, as man. As living God, he had never died. He'd seen men die in response to the curse, but he had never himself been through that massive separation of body and soul that we call death. And he did. He went through that and was raised from the dead. One scripture even says he raised himself from the dead. He therefore is well qualified to speak from experience to those who are facing new things. We will never have to experience the wrath of God upon a believer like he did, because he has been there for us. We will have to experience death. And when it comes, we're all on our own. When it comes to us as an individual. We all have to face this new thing in whatever form it takes. Sudden tragedy, chronic illness, whatever form. But we need help. We need someone at our side. We need someone who understands. And when you consider the massively new things that Jesus went through on Calvary, notably the separation of him from his Father, which he'd never, never experienced, was probably unimaginable. And also death. We may take great courage. And because of that, the Lord is always willing, knowing what it is like, to help those who are going through first-time experiences, or for those who are going through a new experience, but it is for the first time. Or even as we had here in the book of Joshua, for succeeding as a new thing in our own experience, someone who's a legend, if you like, some greater person whose shoes we never could fulfill, could fill. So this is meaningful for us all. And it is not difficult to understand, but to call upon the Lord by his Spirit to help us face new things is a wonderful thing. A child may do it, going to a new school, making new friends, going to university, a whole different world of living, becoming independent. All these things are new. It's not only for the elderly. In fact, it is true that facing things new comes more frequently the younger you are. And the more you have the Saviour to be at your side, who understands exactly what you're going through, the easier and more comforting it will be for you. So here we remember, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary and the presence of the Father was withdrawn from him. And therefore, as a basic thing, he loves his people. He understands what it is when they face new things, and he will help. So, after the death of Moses, the Lord begins to lead Joshua. Now, in this case, Joshua had had some preparation. He'd been the minister to Moses and had watched how Moses did things and had watched all that had gone on and took some part in some of the things. He had been prepared. But Joshua was not the same as Moses. Moses brought about the plagues upon Egypt and God's command. Joshua never done anything like that at all. And so allied with this whole subject of facing something new is following in the footsteps as newly appointed of someone who's well known, famous, and who's made a great impact. It never can be the same. And what transpires here is that it isn't the same. But it is equally called upon by the Lord. Elijah was followed by Elisha. Elisha actually did more miracles. Luther was followed by Calvin. A pioneer like Luther, like Moses, like Elijah, are usually a particular type of character, strong and rugged. And the Elishas and the Calvins and the Joshuas do not match them usually for these things. But they are equally called, and they usually go on to expand the work that has been begun, and scarcely could be called less effective. And by the same token, when it happens in our jobs or some way in our lives, we do not have to feel that we're following in the footsteps of one whom we can never match. It's not the right way. We won't match them. We're not being lined up alongside them. We have our current job to do. Perhaps this is just nowhere more apparent than in young ladies who've just got married. You know, the old adage, the man expects to be looked after in the way he's been looked after by his mother until now. And there's no way a young lady can match up to his mother. And she may feel very much in the shadow of it, but she needn't. She has a different role. Maybe it'll be a much longer lasting role. But I only use this to show you that if we're called to face something new, that means following in the footsteps of someone who's well known, great, whatever, we don't have to match up with them. When Elijah ran away because of the threat of Jezebel, he ran away, and you remember he said, "I am not better than my fathers." Nowhere in the Bible are we called to be better than our fathers. We are simply called to do the work to which he appoints us. And as with Paul and Barnabas, the work to which he calls us, he makes known to us in the inner person. So don't let the fact that you're facing something new, and in so doing, following in the footsteps of somebody maybe even you've admired. "I can never do it like that." You're not being called to do it like that. You have your own work to do. Joshua greatly expanded the work that Moses began. The same work given by God, the continuation of that work. And it might well have been different, but nevertheless, it was still wonderfully used by the Lord. So, I promised you three principles. The first principle is fear not, fear not. Now, that comes in this chapter four times. And if repetition in Scripture means that the thing is doubly important, here we have a very, very important principle. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. And at the end, where it's the other people, the 2.5 tribes saying it to him, only be strong and of a good courage. So we're facing something new. I certainly had the experience in some of the many exams that I did as a youngster that you're faced with the paper and your mind just goes completely blank. then curious to read it through again carefully, bit by bit, it begins to make sense. But the mind is capable of doing that. And what we're called upon to do, facing things new, is not to be afraid. Fear not. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of a good courage. And that third one in verse 9 is followed by, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Dismay is something that, when it occurs as a first-time experience, as a time that you're experiencing new things, it can be very undermining. Dismay. Can't do it. I can't do it. It's what we call today panic. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. So we have to say these things to ourselves. We have to plead with the Lord to come alongside us and to make us so that we are strong and of a good courage. It's no good wilting before the sea. It's no good weakening before it. Be strong and of a good courage. So we're facing a new situation, whatever it is. And the word of the Lord to us, first of all, is be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And then we read this. In verse 9, had not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The first principle is to be strong and of a good courage. The second principle is the presence of the Saviour to bring that to pass. For be strong, be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And this occurs too, three times. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And the words of the Gadites at the end of the chapter, only the Lord thy God be with thee. Verse 17, as he was with Moses. If the Lord is with us, then we don't need to compare ourselves to anybody at all. We have to think scripturally, sometimes very powerfully, in these sort of ways. You may think, I certainly think so about myself, that I'm a nobody, that I don't know anything compared with what there is to know, that I don't do things well, all sorts of things like that. But if the Lord has made me a son, if the Lord has given me a job, then it's that that counts, not my own inner feelings, not what other people may say about me. If the Lord has called me to be born again, if the Lord has called me into a particular work, if the Lord says I am his, if the Lord says I am his son, doesn't matter what I think about myself, doesn't matter what the world thinks, we've got that. And it's the same here. Doesn't matter how frightening the scene is. Doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances are, but if the Lord himself is with us and has promised never to fail us nor forsake us, we don't need to wilt. We don't need to be dismayed. Think of the wonder of it. The Creator, the Saviour, the Upholder of the world says, I will not forsake thee. He's never forsaken his universe. He will not forsake us in that brief time that we are spared to live here. So, first of all, fear not, be of good courage. Secondly, the presence of the Lord is to be felt, but he will give us that courage. And the third thing is to think and meditate day and night in the scriptures. Just three principles: be strong and of a good courage, the presence of the Lord, and the thorough meditation of the scriptures, for by these the Lord will guide us. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Had not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. This is a remarkable passage. If Joshua had thought long and hard about being a general, about military strategy, if he had thought long and hard about how he served Moses, what God is saying here is that those won't avail. What will help you is familiarity with the scriptures. What the Lord will bring back to you to help you at any given time are the scriptures. And the scriptures not just read, but also meditated upon. I've always loved meditating. I've often wondered if it's an excuse for doing nothing. But that apart, I love thinking something. So there's an idea, and like a diamond, I like to look at it from one way, and then from another, and then from another, and then from another, and then from another, till its multifaceted parts come clear in my mind. And this is what is being said about the scripture. And you know, the way this is worded says that it takes as much courage to meditate in the scriptures as anything else. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do it, the things that scripture commands. It would be easy to turn aside one way or the other. It would be easy to substitute your own learning, your own understanding, your own study, your own preferences. But we need to be strong and courageous concerning the scriptures, and the scriptures will bring us our success. The scriptures will bring us our prosperity, not our studies. And here is the most wonderful thing. If we come to face something new in our lives, the scriptures will have something to say. There are all sorts of new situations in the Bible from which we can gain something. The first of them is creation. The Lord saw that it was good. The Lord saw that it was very good. So, we face something new, and it's good. And it's very good. It's a good opportunity. It's a very good opportunity. It may not have been a good job, but it will be if you handle it. It's all these sort of things. So everywhere in the scriptures, there is teaching about what is new. But here with the scriptures, we're told not to turn aside, whatever, neither from the right hand nor from the left. We're not to deviate, we're not to impose upon it our own thinking, but we are to meditate in what it says, and the Lord will speak to us in that. And the reward, you see, is that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. The outcome is promised, based on the three principles of not being afraid, because the Lord is with you, and because the word of the Lord, the scriptures, is before you to meditate on you. And you will win. You will conquer. You will prosper. You will have good success in that thing which is new. And therefore, in theory, putting you off a bit, in a theory, undermining you. But it needn't. Success in that to which we are called is promised. Actually, Joshua ended better than Moses. For Moses had displeased the Lord, and he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. Joshua entered the promised land and distributed it and died a natural death. We're not to compare the two. They don't compare. And we ourselves, facing new things, must not compare ourselves with others. Else, of course, it does induce that fearfulness. It adds another dimension to a natural fearfulness. Be strong and of a good courage. I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. It doesn't just refer to Joshua. It refers to us. Our work is different. But as he was with him, there was never man stood before the face of God like Moses. But even so, he says to Joshua, and through Joshua to us, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? Be strong and of a good courage, for I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to the scriptures. Turn not to the right or the left, meditate in them, then thou shalt have good success, then thou shalt be prosperous. Use these principles when you face, like we all do frequently, entirely new situations. I finish with just a funny thing, really. We discovered as parents what you've all discovered as parents. When you've had your first child, and you've perhaps had him for 2 years or something like that, you can't say, do you know all about dealing with children? Because the second child comes along, and you know, you've never had a second child before. And the third one comes along, and you discover you've never had a third child before. They are not the same. The experiences are not identical. And when you think of life like that, you see that new things are always cropping up. If we say we know how to bring up children, we brought up the first one, we will make the second one conform, we will make the third one conform, be disaster. But the treating of new things with the presence of the Lord, without fear, and with the help of scriptures, will see us through every new situation. May the Lord help us, and may he guide us. Amen.
Amen.
And we sing now from the Young People's Book, from the Blue